Avia sits in front of the microphone. We met during the first Generation J program, where we were both part of the leading faculty then, as we are now, and we instantly became close friends. I've mentioned before that I'm recording these short interviews about this appearance in a Yiddish program, a tiny niche within a niche in a world where, for many, Yiddish itself has disappeared. For most people, if they've even heard of Yiddish, it's a language and culture that belongs to the past. Something dead, forgotten, or mistaken for modern Hebrew or a dialect of German. But there are also people for whom Yiddish never ceased to exist. For those who grew up speaking it, whether in Hasidic or Haredi communities, or in secular circles where the language was passed down, Yiddish has remained a living, breathing presence. For these communities and individuals, Yiddish isn't something that needs to be resurrected or revived. A link between today and 1,000 years of Jewish history and its multicultural connections still lingers on. And in recent years, it has sparked new curiosity, drawing in both Jews and non-Jews alike. For those of us who didn't inherit Yiddish directly, it can feel like stepping into a lost world. But one that can offer a space for research, for exploration, for reflection, for self-realization, for creativity, and for questioning our own layered identities. One could say that all cultures shift over time, gradually folding into history and, in that sense, disappearing. But it would also be wrong to ignore that Yiddish has had a different kind of disappearance. One shaped by catastrophe, by the establishment of Israel and the dominance of modern Hebrew, by waves of refuge seekers, and by assimilation around the world. And yet, here we are, speaking it, singing in it, creating with it. And here I am, stepping aside from a Yiddish program to record interviews and ask, when have you felt fully seen and heard? And when have you fully disappeared? And here is Avia. Interview number 11.
I would never invite somebody into that space of disappearance. But the question of how to teach somebody to disappear reminds me of one of my favorite Kate Bush songs, How to Be Invisible. I found a book on how to be invisible and all of the ways that we can metaphorically shut ourselves away. I think it's a really dangerous space. I would never want to send somebody there or invite them to go into that space.
I Think I Saw You is a podcast dedicated to exploring our human disappearance. Every episode features an interview with a different person. In this season, I recorded the participants and faculty members of the program Generation J, each of whom reflected on their own thoughts and experiences of disappearance. I Think I Saw You, Avia. Right when you disappeared.
I mean, I feel immediately as if there is not one particular moment that comes up to me as a moment in which I feel like I was most seen and heard. Perhaps it's easier for me to think of times in my life where I've felt particularly included. And I think that's connected to me to times in my life where I've felt as if I've found a place of fulfillment, a place that I fit. And it's easier for me to feel connected and seen in those places because I feel as if I belong in those places. And often in places where I don't feel a sense of belonging, I really don't feel seen or heard. In fact, I retreat from them. So for instance, I can remember the first time that I took a directing class in college. And I found a real natural fit in that, that I had not found in acting. And so there, the transition, that like finding of a space that felt more natural, was a moment where I did feel seen. But reflecting on that, actually, I think maybe I saw myself, which is a, now I want to rethink all of the other spaces. Is it actually, do I feel most seen when I am able to see myself more clearly? Maybe that is actually the validation that we're looking for. Maybe we seek external validation when we're having trouble seeing ourselves clearly. I just talked myself into an answer because now I can, if looking at it through that lens, I feel seen as a Yiddish dance leader, but it is also a space in which I feel comfortable and feel fulfilled and satisfied and have a good sense of my place. Also, when I went to Klez Canada for the first time, I felt at home in a way that I had not in many spaces and felt included and visible. And I felt as if my opinion mattered and my voice mattered. I was getting a response from the world around me that did feel very seen and heard. And that's something that certainly I have gone on to try and create that space for other people. I think I've tried to replicate the spaces in which I felt seen for other people. Another maybe contrasting moment is that I used to find a lot of external validation in grades and evaluations. That was a moment where I felt seen, recognized for success. But now that I'm a teacher grading students, I'm reevaluating that space of being seen and really looking for ways in which I can see my students not through grading. And yeah, so I think that I feel most seen when I see myself clearly. I have experienced relationships in which I felt as though I totally disappeared. I'm not sure that I feel comfortable sharing more details about that, but I certainly have felt that and struggled to recover from it. Yeah, and felt that in different ways, but really that was a kind of disappearing that it really took me time to bounce back from. I mean, I didn't bounce back. It was a kind of disappearing in which I had to really find ways to reappear. Like I had to find ways to come back into visibility. And I think that there are other moments, you know, I find myself maybe in a social situation where I don't feel as comfortable. I've never been super comfortable in parties without a role. I'm comfortable if I have a role or a part to play, but not if I am uncomfortable. But that's sort of a momentary disappearance, right? I like blend into the background for a few minutes or a couple of hours, but then I go home, I'm in my own space, and I reappear. Whereas sort of a longer wearing down, like a slow disappearance, felt much harder to return from. It wasn't as though I necessarily disappeared for other people, but as though I no longer knew who I was. Like a loss of sense of self. I'm sensing my own theme here. Yeah, because, you know, I felt about being seen that it's when we're able to see ourselves, maybe, and that I really think that the times I have felt most invisible were when I lost a sense of who I was for myself in relationship to other people. I think maybe something to add is that over the last years, particularly from theater school, but also just about the way of being in the world, that I do think a lot about presence and how we can learn how to be more present, both in the moment, but also like how do you find that energy of presence on stage? You know, this like state where there's like almost an aura around you, not a esoteric aura, but like a heightened sense of place and time, and the audience senses that. So that is something I've thought a lot about. Is that something you can learn? Is that something you can turn on and off? And I think that I've carried those questions through into my personal life as well. Some of the same exercises that I might use with performers to learn presence could be used to bring myself back from a state of disappearance. I don't think I have an easy answer for how to undisappear, how to return from being disappeared. I think that will be a lifelong struggle for me. Yeah, I'm not sure I have more of a cohesive narrative about that right now. There's no easy answers. My name is Avia Moore, and I was born and raised in the country that we usually call Canada. And I am an artist and a scholar and a leader or an organizer, a producer, a curator, working mostly with Yiddish culture and arts. I am the artistic director of Klez Canada and a Yiddish dance leader and a teacher and a PhD candidate. I wear many hats.
I Think I Saw You is created, produced, recorded, designed, and edited by me, Eyal Davidovich. Original music was also composed and performed by me. Mixing and additional sound design by the lovely Jan Brett. The podcast is supported by Paideia, the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden. Ratings can help enormously. Subscribe wherever you listen. And please, don't hesitate to tell every person you know about this podcast.